I'm fixing a hole where the rain gets in and stops my mind from wandering where it will go. I'm filling the cracks that ran through the door and kept my mind from wandering where it will go.
Yeah, there's a classic for you, huh? Did you see in the news a couple of days ago, Paul McCartney celebrated his 80th birthday with a concert, and several special guests showed up, including Bruce Springsteen and others. And sounds like it was a pretty good party and a pretty good concert, too. The Beatles, getting us back into the show now. You are tuned in to Matt Flynn Direct, and I'm Stu Daniels filling in for Matt today. If you want to give us a call and get on the radio, feel free. 844-967-2789 is the phone number. We've been discussing a couple of different topics. Bernie Sanders in Wisconsin last Friday to support the striking workers at CNH Industrial in Racine. And also this gentleman named Cheese Bro, who evidently is from Wisconsin originally. I don't know if he lives here now, but he evidently sent a letter to Rudy Giuliani and explained how he and other Trump attorneys could go about stealing the election. And this was brought up during the hearing, the committee hearing, January 6th committee hearing on Thursday. And it sounds like they're going to be talking about it again tomorrow in the next hearing. And I was reading from a story that was published on Friday in the journal Sentinel. And we were talking about how this gentleman, his last name is Cheese Bro, and I know that's hard to believe. His first name is Kenneth Cheese Bro, an attorney. And he sent this letter to Rudy Giuliani telling him how the electors could be challenged. The Democratic electors, 10 false electors from Wisconsin. These are false electors, not the real electors, but the 10 false electors met in the state capitol in Madison at the same time the state's electoral college members gathered to deliver votes to Biden. The January 6th committee subpoenaed two of Wisconsin's false electors, former Republican Party of Wisconsin chairman Andrew Hitt, and 8th Congressional District Republican Chairman, I should say, 8th Congressional District Republican Party Chairwoman Kelly Rue, as part of the probe, the January 6th probe. And while the House Select Committee will talk more about false electors in its next hearing, much of Thursday's proceedings detailed Pence's refusal to comply with pressure from Trump and conservative attorney John Eastman to overturn the election. It's hard to believe that Mike Pence is a hero, but in this case, you would have to say that he is. The committee revealed that former House Speaker Paul Ryan, another Wisconsinite, obviously, called the vice president before Congress was set to certify the election to remind Mike Pence he did not have the power to overturn the results. So evidently, Paul Ryan felt so concerned about what might happen on January 6th that he called the vice president just before the vote was about to happen. And Pence's former chief of staff, Mark Short, said in a closed-door testimony that was presented during a Thursday hearing, quote, Ryan wanted to call and say, you know, you don't have any greater authority. And I said, Mr. Speaker, you know, Mike, you know, he doesn't, you know, he recognizes that. And we sort of laughed about it. And he said, I get it, Short said. And he, and this is more of the quote, he later spoke to the vice president to, I think, have the same conversation, just saying, hey, Mike, you don't have the authority. The January 6th committee will hold its next hearing on Tuesday, tomorrow, at noon Central Time. So we can look forward to that. Have you been watching the hearings? What do you think so far? Is there a chance that we will see? What do you think the DOJ is going to do? Do you think they will go after Trump and others? Hard to say. Some people think that the Department of Justice is dragging their feet. And others say, well, you know, they're doing their work, but since it's a grand jury, we're not going to hear any information about it until, you know, they're able to make a move and start releasing some of the information. Well, it'll be interesting to see what kind of justice we get out of this. What do you think? 844-967-2789 is the phone number. Looking for your input on that. And we're going to take a break in a couple of minutes. But before we do, I want to tell you what we'll get to on the other side of the break. Evidently, Fox News conducted a poll. And in this poll, they found that 63% of respondents support an assault weapons ban. Okay, now, if Fox News is putting together a poll that found 63% of respondents support an assault weapons ban, what do you think the real number is? It's probably even higher than that. And evidently, this poll triggered a Republican senator into blaming ignorant Americans for supporting an assault weapons ban. So if you think that assault weapons of war, should be off the streets, then maybe you're an ignorant American. I'll get to a little bit of this story here before we take a break. It says, this is by Peter Wade in Rolling Stone. It says, faced with the news that a significant majority of Americans support a number of gun control measures, including a ban on assault weapons, Republican Senator Mike Lee struggled to defend his party's staunch opposition to some of those policies. Instead, he blamed Americans, claiming they don't understand their rights or even know what an assault weapon is. And here's a quote. Fox's polling shows that there is a lot of strength behind some of these proposals, host Shannon Bream said on Fox News Sunday, as a graphic on screen showed 82% support for raising the legal age to purchase an assault rifle to 21. 82% support raising the legal age to purchase an assault rifle to 21 years old, and 81% support for flagging people who are a danger to themselves or others, and 63% support for banning assault weapons altogether. And it doesn't surprise me. I think those numbers are close to accurate, and the numbers may be even higher, especially if that's a Fox News poll reporting those numbers. And Bream went on and said, there's a lot of momentum, at least among the public sphere, for doing this. Are you out of step with your constituents? Bream pointedly asked the senator, Mike Lee. And Lee responded by essentially saying, the American people don't know their rights, so they need lawmakers to defend them. Quote, okay, so first of all, what's important is we look out for the rights of constituents, he said. Constituents are asked poll questions. They're not asked questions about specific language within legislative text. It's the job of the lawmaker to look out for the interests and the rights of the law-abiding citizens they represent. And that's the end of the quote. Yes, according to Lee, it's up to the lawmaker to carefully and condescendingly explain that the right not to have your body torn apart by an AK-47 in a grocery store or a public school is less important than a gunman's right to yield a rapid-firing weapon of war equipped with a high-capacity magazine. Lee continued, quote, with each of those provisions, I understand how they could get high popularity ratings when they don't define them. For example, you talk about banning assault weapons. There's no universal definition of what an assault rifle is, end quote. The senator then went on to babble about how whether an assault rifle is made of, quote, wood or made of plastic or of composite, and that can change its status as an assault weapon. But of course, we do have a clear definition of a semi-automatic assault weapon contained in the 1994 assault weapons ban, which lasted 10 years and reduced mass shooting fatalities until the George W. Bush administration allowed it to lapse. And there's more to this story that we'll get to, but first let's go to the phones. I think we have Mark from the SAC lined up on line one. Mark, are you there? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you, and I can give you a definition of an assault rifle, at least from the 1974 publication of the Firearms Encyclopedia, published by the Outdoor Life by Outdoor Life. That it goes, assault rifle, a military rifle intended purely for one-man operation and equipped to provide either semi-automatic or fully automatic fire by means of selective switch or other fire control device. Well, that's either fully automatic is other than, you know, not available to citizens generally. But today's assault rifle are typified by the Soviet AK-47 and the US M16, of course, the civilian version's AR-15. You know, I'm including some of this, you know, but they are chambered for an intermediate cartridge, have barrels under 20 inches, make extensive use of plastics and stampings, use gas operation and locked breeches, have magazine capacities of 20 to 30 rounds and are quite compact. Maximum effective range in the hands of average troops is approximately 300 meters in semi-automatic mode and somewhat less than fully automatic fire. Some assault rifles are produced only in semi-automatic form for sale in, as sporting arms. And this is what they have kind of highlighted. It steps out to me. They're excellent for on a military style of target, but have little application in hunting. And this is how hunters and typical NRA members thought back in 1974. So what the hell has happened to us as a society? And I'm a hunter, and I don't want to have one of these things. I don't need one of these things. But I mean that Mike Lee should pull his head out of his butt and actually think about what he is actually saying, because apparently he cannot think about what he is saying. I'd say that to his face. I mean, these guys are just damn fools. I mean, that it just is ridiculous that...
Yeah. Hey, Mark from the SAC, I appreciate you calling, and I agree with you. We're out of time for this segment, but thank you for calling. We'll be right back. You are tuned in to Matt Flynn Direct.